Tonight, let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalms 86. Psalms 86. We'll be looking at Psalms 86 tonight. Psalms 86. Last week in my message, I mentioned briefly about five elements of prayer. And I was asked about those five elements of prayer later on. And we know I mentioned those five elements of prayer is number one, adoration. When we come to God, we ought to adore Him for what He's done for us, for how good He's been to us, and for who He is, and Him just being God alone. And then after adoration, we can come to Him and confess. It would be our confession, asking God to forgive us of our sins, of our iniquities, of our transgressions, of just being a depraved man. Then once we adore Him and we come and we confess, then we come on behalf of our petitions, asking our desires of our hearts. We know the Lord desires to give us the desires of our hearts if we don't ask amiss, if we don't ask and if it brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Then fourthly, we see there's praise that go along with that. And then lastly, fifthly, thanksgiving. Thanking God for what He's done in the past and thanking God for what He's going to do in the future. I was thinking this afternoon as our pastor asked me to preach about the National Day of Prayer. And in 1952, our Congress passed a bill that our president should set aside a day of the year, and it could not be Sunday, that we focus and we emphasize prayer. And this Thursday, May 2nd, is the National Day of Prayer, when we will set aside time to pray and set aside time to thank God for Him being good to our nation and all that He's done for us. And tonight, I'd like to look at a prayer in Psalms 86. It's a prayer of David. And in this prayer, if you read it tonight or this week, perhaps, you'll see these five elements of prayer that David lists. But tonight, I would just like to look at two of these elements, and we'll see, number one, his petition, and number two, his adoration. The things that he asked for, the things that he desired, his heart's what was longing after, and we'll see him adore his God. It's just five short petitions in these first five verses, five short requests. Some writers call it five sentence prayers. We see these prayers, they're prayed quickly, they're prayed from his heart, and I want to say tonight our prayers don't have to be long, they don't have to be exuberant, they don't have to be eloquent, but it's a prayer from our heart to our Creator, and He knows those thoughts, He knows what we have need of, and we see that David is asking God, he's petitioning God on five things that we'll see tonight. I believe it would be helpful to us as individuals and as a church family to see these petitions and see his adoration as we think about the National Day of Prayer this week. You'll notice these five petitions, there's a request and then there's a reason for this request. There's a petition and there's a reason he called upon his God, and we'll see that here in just a few minutes. And we'll begin in reading in verse number one. It's the Psalms 86. It's a prayer of David. It's David's asking God for some things, and we see that God will answer his prayer. I see number one in verse number one, the effort of a Savior. I'm thankful our Savior put forth some effort toward you and I tonight. Verse one, it says, "Bow down thy ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." In verse number one, David's putting forth a request. He's giving a petition to his God, and he cries. He says, God, bow down thine ear. He's asking God for something. He's asking God to put forth some effort. He's asking God to bow down, to extend something, to lend something is the word. He's asking God to bend forward is the word picture there. Is that not what Jesus Christ did for you and I? A God that was high and lofty, a God that was on the throne, put forth some effort. He came to where you and I were. He's asking God here to be mindful of me and show some action. That's what Jesus Christ did. He left heaven. He left all of glory. He left all the majesty and all the beauty and all the splendor. And he came. He stooped down. He came down. He extended himself to where we were because he loved us. He humbled himself. He came. He endured suffering. He endured the shame and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And God's asking David, he's saying, God, bend down. He's saying, Lord, extend. He's saying, God, stretch out thine ear. It implies if God has an ear, he must can hear. And I'm thankful my God does hear my prayer tonight. He's saying, God, you can hear. And I'm thankful that's something God does very well. He hears our petition. The word hear in our Bible, it's used many times in the Old Testament. It's the word anah, A-N-A-H. And it means several times, 42 times in the Old Testament, it means to hear. It means to understand. It means to perceive or to realize. But 242 times in the Old Testament, the same word means to answer. I'm happy to report to you tonight, God does not only see and realize and understand what you're going through in your situation, but also he answers prayers. He's saying, God, hear, bend down, extend, lower yourself to where I'm at and hear my prayer. He's saying, God, hear. I'm thankful that he hears. I'm thankful God helps. I'm thankful God understands and God comforts, all because he's a caring God tonight. All because he's concerned tonight. All because he's righteous and loving and just. And this God, he's interested in the cries of his children. And David is saying, God, you understand? God, you realize? God, you're the my Lord. That's the word eternal one in our text there. He has the ability to hear. He has the capability to answer. And he has the responsibility to you and I tonight. Notice his responsibility. He wants us to cry to him. He wants us to help him, or him to help us, all because if we'll just cry to him. How about a God that'll hear us? How about a God tonight that wants to extend help our way? I bless his name tonight. David cries. He says, bow down thy ear. It gives us, and now he gives a reason, and he gives an argument to why this lofty God, why this high God, why this holy God that's on the throne should come down and bow down his ear. Notice here's the petition, here's the request, here's the prayer, and here's David's reason why he should do it. He says, bow down thy ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. David, the king of Israel, he said, Lord, bow down your ear. Extend your arm. Extend your ear. Not because I'm a king. Not because I'm wealthy. Not because I have great riches. Not because I've earned it or deserve it. But because I am poor and needy. See, that entitles all of us tonight. That entitles us that we can come to God because we're all poor and needy. All those that are saved, all those that are redeemed, all those that are washed in the blood of the Lamb can call upon him. He said, I'm poor. It's the word low. It's the word humbled. It's the word abased. It's the word downtrodden. He's saying, God, I'm low. I'm abased. I'm humbled. I'm downtrodden. I'm afflicted. And says, needy. I'm in want. Lord, I must have help is what he's saying. Lord, it's essential that you come. Lord, you have to hear my prayer. God, it's imperative tonight that you hear us. And is this not the people that God helps? He doesn't help the prideful. He doesn't help the haughty ones. But he helps those that are poor and needy, those that humble themselves. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. If we can come to God and humble ourselves as David did, he'll hear our prayers. There's a petition. He's asking God. It's a short God, a short petition. He's saying those that are afflicted, those that are needy, those that are poor, those that are base, those that are humble. And when we as individuals, and when we as families, and when we as a church can come to God on this behalf, and we humble ourselves, the possibilities of his blessings are endless. David's crying out. He's praying to God, and God's listening. I suspect here shortly that there'll be an answer on the way. Verse 1, it's an effort for the Savior. He says, bow down, extend forward thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, I am poor and needy. Look at verse number 2, this eternal is security. Verse 2, he says, preserve my soul. Preserve my soul. Verse 1, he's asking God to hear him. He's begging God to hear his voice, to hear his cry, to hear his petition. Now in verse 2, it's almost as if David is telling God. He's commanding God. He's telling God to preserve my soul. It's the word to guard. It's the word to keep or to shield or to hedge about. He's asking God to protect me, to shield me, to keep me, and to guard me. We don't know why David's praying this prayer. Perhaps he's asking God to save his life from Absalom. Some say that he may have been running from some enemies and maybe that he's asking for longer life or more days to live. We don't know why he's praying, but I do know that God is the keeper of our soul. He saved me. He sealed me. And I'm thankful I'm eternal, secure in Jesus Christ my Lord. And David's asking for this security, this eternal safety, this eternal security, eternally saved. Why does God need to preserve David? We see his petition. He said, Lord, he's saying, bow down thy ear. Why? Because I'm poor and needy. In verse 2, he says, preserve my soul. Here's the why. David goes on to say in verse number 2, for I am holy. Sounds like David's a braggart. Sounds like David's bragging on who he is and his holiness. You mean David being holy? David, the ones that has killed 10,000s in war? David, holy, the one that committed adultery with Bathsheba? David, holy, the one that ordered the sure death, the murder of Uriah? David, holy, the one that deceived and lied numerous times in the Bible? David was holy because and only because he was saved. This word holy, it does not imply sinless perfection. It does not imply a sinless, but it means in our text to be kind, or it means to be merciful. He's saying, Lord, preserve my soul. Keep me and guard me and shield me, for I am holy. He's saying, God, I'm saved. God, I'm trying to be kind. God, I'm trying to be merciful. God, I'm trying to be faithful. Here it is. Here's the word picture. God, I'm trying to be like you. And Lord, I'm trying to live a life that's pleasing to you. I'm trying to do as you say do. I'm trusting God for this preservation. Tonight, if we're going to continue on this Christian path, if we're going to be faithful, and if we're going to be effective to a lost and dying world, it won't be the church. It won't be our good works or our good deeds. It won't be my preaching or your pastor, but it'll be Jesus Christ that will preserve us and keep us and guard us on the way. One writer said about this text, he said this word holy does not mean sinless, but the quality of becoming more and more like our Father in heaven. That's my desire tonight, is to be more like Jesus Christ, to be more like the darling Son of God. David's asking God. He's saying, God, hear my prayer. He's saying, God, if you'll preserve my soul. And I see in verse number 3, God's ever-abiding mercy. Notice what he says in verse 3. He says, be merciful unto me. Now, this is the verse that really helped me this afternoon. He says, God, be merciful unto me. It's not God's mercy that we earn. I notice it's a gift of God. And in verse number 3, God's asking the Lord for that very thing. He's asking for mercy from a thrice holy God. Verse 3, he says, "Be merciful unto me." Now we know mercy is defined as God's favor. It's defined as showing pity or showing compassion or showing grace. But we see the true meaning of merciful in our text here. This is the true meaning. It means to encamp. It means to pitch as someone would pitch a tent. It means in our text here to abide. It means to rest. What David is saying, what David is praying for, he's asking God's mercy. He's saying, "God, your mercy and you're merciful when you come and you bend down, when you come and abide, when you come and dwell, when you come and visit with your very people." That's God's mercy tonight. If he would just mercy, show us mercy by coming and abiding in our presence, by coming and resting in our presence, by coming and visiting us with tonight. That's what David was asking for. What a prayer that is. What a prayer that we should be praying. Asking Jesus Christ to come and visit us. What mercy that is. To him to dwell in our midst. How our problems, how our situations of life, the storms of life, the difficulties we face would seem to diminish and vanish away if only Jesus would come in our midst and dwell. That's what David's asking for. He's saying, "God, be merciful. God, if you'll come and visit, if you'll come and dwell with us." What mercy that is. You say, "Preacher, don't you know that God said he'll never leave us or forsake us? Don't you know that our body is the temple of the Lord? Don't you know that God's always with us and that he's always abiding with us and that he would never leave us?" I understand and I realize that, but David is speaking of a manifested visitation from God. How our church services would be changed if we just had a manifested visitation from Jesus. How our families would change if he would just show himself mighty in our families. How our nation would change if we one more time had a manifested visitation. He says in verse 3, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord." Now here's the why. He's give the petition. He's give the request. He's give his prayer. Now notice the why. "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily." My, what a prayer. He's asking God to come and visit. He's asking God to come and dwell with him, come to be with him. Why? Because I cry for thee daily. God, sure would like for you to visit with us tonight. But if you don't, I'm going to come and ask you again tomorrow. Lord, I'd like for you to visit with us Sunday morning and Sunday night. But if you don't, I'll be back again Monday asking for it one more time. Lord, I'd like for you to come and show yourself mighty. But Lord, if you don't, I'll be back tomorrow asking again. He says, why? Because I cry daily. This word cry, it means to call out aloud. It's not a silent prayer. It's not just something on his mind. It's not just something in his heart. But he's calling aloud. He's asking God. He's calling aloud. Maybe in his bed chamber, we don't know. Maybe he's out in the meadows among the sheep. We don't know. Or maybe he's in the house of God. We don't know. But he's asking God to come and visit with us. What a prayer that would be if our church family would just call aloud asking the God of all glory, the one that saved us, the beloved Lamb of God to come and visit with us time and time again. Come Monday, we call upon him. Come Tuesday, we call upon him. Come Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we're calling upon God daily to visit us. It's a ever-abiding mercy, his ever-abiding presence. We see the effort of a Savior in verse 1. In verse 2, we see the eternal security. I see in verse number 4, the exalted soul of the servant. Notice his exalted soul. He says, "Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." David's asking God in verse 1 to hear my prayer. Verse number 2, he's asking God to preserve his soul. Verse 3, he's asking God to abide and to be merciful and visit with him. And here in verse number 4, it's a strange request, but he's asking God to change his attitude. He's asking God to build character. He says, "Rejoice the soul I serve it, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." He said, "Lord, I lift up my soul." You say, "Preacher, how do you lift up your soul? How do you lift up the very being, the very part of you that longs for God?" I believe we do it through worship. I believe we do it through praise and thanksgiving. We do it through adoring Him. We do it through thanking Him and praising Him. We do it through worship and being obedient to Him. And then notice, when we do that, when we lift up our soul to God, at the first part of verse 4, He says, "Rejoice the soul of thy servant." Means to make glad. It means to be joyous. He's saying, "God, when I come to the house of God, when I come and I'm it feels like I'm down and I'm despondent, and I come to the house of God with the mully grubs, I'll begin to worship you. I'll begin to lift my hands and sing, 'Thank you, God, for your blessings on me.' I'll stand and sing, 'God, you've been good to me.' I'll begin to worship and praise you. And then, Lord, you'll rejoice my soul." It means to have joy, and joy unspeakable and full of glory deep inside. What a prayer that is. When we begin to think of God saving our soul, when we begin to think of all that God's done for us, and all He's done for you, and all He's done for our church, that all that He's gone wants to do, our attitude will begin to change. He says, "Rejoice, my soul. Cause my soul to be glad." He's saying, "Make me happy inside." He's saying, "Cause abundant joy to overflow and make me thrilled in Jesus Christ." The more we rejoice, I believe the more our soul will be overflowed. It's the word to flourish. It's the word to come forth. I believe the more that we praise Him, the more we offer gratitude to Him, the closer we become to Him, and the more joyous we will become. He's saying, "Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." It's a pretty good prayer. It's very simple prayers. It's just a sentence prayers. It's a petition and the reason why. It's very effective prayers. But I notice prayer is not effective until it's practiced. We see in verse 5, David is telling the Lord now, "I've petitioned, I've asked, I've given you my request, now I'm going to adore you." Notice what he does, he gives his petition upon. Verse 5, he says, "For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them," here it is, "that call upon thee. God will not hear me in verse 1 until He is called upon. God will not preserve me in verse 2 until we see that He's good. God will not save me in verse 2 until we see that He's ready to forgive. God will not be merciful unto me until we see that He's plenteous in mercy. And God will not give joy in verse 4 until we see all these things that are listed in verse number 5. David petitioned God. He's asking the Lord. He's asking the Lord for some things. Now he's going to adore God. He's saying in verse 5, "Lord, for thou art good." Lord, you're good. You're precious. You're excellent. You're beautiful is the word. You're altogether lovely. And I just want to say tonight, God is good. He's been good to me. He's been better to me than I deserve, and I bless His name for that. God, you're not only good, but God, you're ready to forgive. You've pardoned me. You've spared me. You've forgiven me. You've seen my faults, but you love me anyway. Yeah, I was wicked and cruel and ungodly, but you forgave. Thank God for Romans 5:8, but God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sin, Christ died for us. Your God is ready to forgive. Your God is good. Your God is plenteous in mercy. Means great abundance. It means of many blessings. It has the idea of handfuls of purpose that God is ready to open up the windows of heaven and pour out the storehouse upon our way. Verse 5, he says, who can this be enjoyed by? Verse 5, it says, unto all them that call upon thee. Unto all, unto whosoever will, unto you, unto me tonight. He's asking us short prayers. David's calling upon God. He's giving his petitions to God. And now he's giving God his adoration. And in closing, look at verse number 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. David shows us in these short prayers in Psalms 86 how we can come to God and we can give God our desires, hearts, and tell God our petitions and tell God the things that we desire. Not on our behalf, not because of our goodness, but because of what Jesus Christ and shedding of his blood. And because of that, we can come to him in the right account, in the right standing, calling upon God. But notice, as I said earlier, this prayer is not effective until it's practiced. He says in verse 5, unto all them that call upon thee. I just want to say tonight, I'm glad I can call upon God. I'm glad he saved my soul. I'm glad I'm eternally secure. I'm glad it was all because of Jesus Christ and nothing in me. I'm glad tonight that he's hearing our prayers. I'm glad tonight that we can humble ourselves and abase ourselves and come to God knowing he will hear and answer our prayers. What's your petition tonight? What's your request tonight? You can come to God. So it's available to all that will call upon him. Miss Brenda, if you'll come and play something softly on the piano, I'll ask everyone to stand. This week, this Thursday, we set aside the National Day of Prayer to call upon Jesus Christ. I'd like to go ahead and start tonight on a Sunday night, thanking God for all he's done for us. And remember, it's what David said. He said, I cry. It's not a silent prayer. It's not a prayer on his heart or on his mind, but he called upon Jesus Christ. We have that freedom tonight, folks, that freedom to pray, that freedom to petition God, the freedom to come to God on the basis of Jesus Christ because of what he's done. Why don't you come to the altar? And maybe if you don't have anything to pray for, just ask God for mercy. Ask God that he would visit us. Ask God that he would come and dwell with us and abide with us. Ask God he would come and manifest a visitation for our behalf, for his honor, and for his glory.